We're on Daf Chafalf of Adav, the first of the wide lines on the bottom of the Omud. V'yomer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, I omid v'tfila v'nizkar shehispalel posek v'afilu b'yemtza bracha. So he reminds himself that he already davened, something that happens quite frequently, especially the older you get. And Shmuel says that he has to stop immediately. Eini, so the Gemara Sakasha va'omar Rav Nachman ki avina be rabba baravua ba'an mine. When we were in the Beis Medrash of Rabba Baravua, we asked him, Hani b'nei be rav de to umid kerei de chol b'shabbos, those students who made a mistake and they started davening a tefilas chol on Shabbos, they realized that it's Shabbos and they're in the middle of a bracha, ma'u she'igmeru, can they finish the bracha? The Amar Lo Gamrinon Gomrim Kol Osa Bracha. They finish that bracha. In other words, after you assign that bracha, they don't stop and terminate in the middle of a bracha. So why did Shmuel say that if he reminds himself in the middle of tefillah that he should be mafsik even in the middle of a bracha? Here's a case where they started the bracha thinking it's a tefillas chol, and nevertheless they finished the bracha. Again, we could say, in answering this question, that if he davened already, he has no chiyuv whatever, so he has to, whatsoever, he has to stop in the middle. But in this case, he has a chiyuv, and although he started with a tefillah schol, but even a tefillah schol is a tefillah. It's not mufka from being a tefillah. But let's see how the Gemara answers. Sachi hashta. Let's differentiate between these two dinim. Hasam, in the case of somebody who reminds himself that it's Shabbos and he's in the middle of a tefillah schol, gavra bar chiyuvahu. He's mechuyev to daven all shmon esrei brachos for abanan hu delo atrechuha. So it's not that a tefillah schol is completely meaningless on Shabbos. Really, he should be davening a tefillah schol with a full 18 brachos. Just that the rabbanan didn't want to be matriach and mishum kvod Shabbos, so they shortened the tefillah for kvod Shabbos. That has to be understood, but it means that he can complete the tefillah even if he reminds himself midway. And Aval Hach, but here, in the case of somebody who reminds him that he already davened, Hatzolile, he doesn't have a chiyuv anymore, he's already Yotzi as chiyuv, and he shouldn't be mamshich. And this, by the way, would support the principle that we've mentioned many times, that tefillah needs a matir. The matir is a chiyuv, but here he already fulfilled his chiyuv, he doesn't have the matir, therefore he terminates his tefillah. The Gemara quotes another halacha regarding tefillah in the name of the same tradition, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Now he davened the yechidus. He wants to gain an extra kiyum of tefillah b'tzibur. What should he do if he already fulfilled his obligation? And there is an eitzah. And the simple pshat in this Gemara is that he sets up what's called a tefillas nedava. He doesn't have a tefillas chov. Again, in the middle of a tefillah, he started as a tefillas chov. He cannot attach a tefillas nedava midway through Shmon Esrei, but he can start a tefillah for the sake of nedava. It's a cheftishal tefillah, and now it can be integrated into the tzibur, and he's able to achieve obtain the extra kiyum of being mispal with the tzibur. But tefillas nedava requires what's called chidush badavar. Again, you need a matir. And the matir for someone who has already fulfilled his obligation, he doesn't have the matir of a chova, but he has a matir of yochel chadish badavar. And yochel chadish badavar means either that he has to be mechadish something in each one of the brachos, for example, in refuah, in Parnasa, in Talmud, and so forth and so on. Or perhaps it means that he chooses one particular bracha and he's mechadish in that bracha. What it means is now he has a quasi chiyuv to be mispalel, because in his original tefillah he didn't ask for that. He didn't have that supplication in his tefillah. Now he has a tzorach, he has a new bakasha, and that sets up a new chiyuv. So the matir now to recite this tefillah is Chidush Badavar. Now, if you assume that he has to be Mechadish Badavar on each bracha, that's only the Emtsoyos. But the Sholosh Rishon and Sholosh Achronos were not most of it all. Those are set, those are completely closed and sealed. We don't add anything. So the Gemara explains now why it is that we needed Shmuel to tell us these two dinim. Both of them indicate that somebody who was mispal is not allowed to be mispal again. But again, in each case, he has a particular chiddush, tzricha. What are the two dinim that he's mechadish? We're talking about Shmuel now. Diyashmidin kamaisa, if we only had the first din that tells you when he reminds himself halfway through a bracha that he has to be mafsik because he reminded himself that he was already mispalel, is hanimi, we would have assumed that that's only in the case of a yachid, somebody who was mispalel the first time around as a yachid. And now, on the second time around, he began his tefillah as a yachid. Or alternatively, and here we turn to Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, somebody davened the first time around Betzibur, and now again he starts davening Betzibur. So in these two cases, he is now repeating exactly what he did before. Avo, but I might think, Yachid L'Gabi Tzibur Kimandalo Tzoli Dami, which means that if he davened as a Yachid, and now accidentally forgetting himself, he repeated himself as... if he again repeated himself as Yochid, then we know from Rabbi Yochanan's first halach that he has to be mafsik. But what happens if he started as a Yochid, and now he wants to daven b'tzibur? So I might think, well, in that case, it's a brand new Shmon Esrei, and the kiyum of tzibur now sets up a new Shmon Esrei, and he's allowed to daven with the tzibur, and he doesn't have to be mechadish padavik. Kamash, when we need the second halach of Shmuel, that despite the fact that he is now davening b'tzibur, that's not enough to allow him to repeat his Shmon Esrei. He already was yotzi as a yachid, unless he is mechadish padavik. V'yashmin in hacha. And if we only had Shmuel's second din, that if he davened and now he wants to daven a second time to obtain the kiyum of tzibur, and Shmuel tells me he's not allowed to do so unless he's mechadish bar davar, I would have thought that the reason for this, hainu mishum delo aschil ba, he's trying to make a decision whether or not to stand up and start his Shmon Esrei. Aval hasam, but in the first case where he's already begun his tefillah, is I would think that since the aschil ba, he started his tefillah in the second round, perhaps I would think he doesn't have to be mafsik tzricha, that Shmuel tells me in the second din that even though he was maschil already, he still has to stop, he has to terminate his tefillah midway. The Gemara now brings a machlokes about someone who enters into a synagogue and he finds the tzibur mispalim. Om Rav Huna nichnas beis haknesset mot tzibur mispalim shmon esrei. And he hasn't davened yet. Im yochel ahaschil v'ligmar et shalo yagia shliach tzibur l'modim. He came a little bit late. The tzibur has already begun davening shmon esrei. Should he now stand up and daven together with the tzibur, even though they're way ahead of him? So the answer is, it depends. Can he reach modim before the Shliach Tzibur gets to modim? So the Shliach Tzibur is now repeating Shmon Esrei, that's called Chazor Sashatz, as you know, and he wants to link up with that Shmon Esrei so that he has the kiyum of being mispal with the Tzibur. That's only meaningful if he catches up to the Tzibur before modim. But if, for example, he is lagging way behind, then he won't get to modim im lav, then al yispal, he shouldn't daven with them, he should wait till the shliach tzibur reaches modim so that he can recite modim with the tzibur, and then he'll get up and daven. So that the participation and the integration of his modim with that of the tzibur is crucial. And if he could do so, he should daven as quickly as he can and try to catch up with the tzibur modim. But if he cannot daven fast enough because there's not enough time to catch up with the tzibur to modim, then better that he remain where he is silently and postpone his tefillah in order that he should achieve this special kiyum of reciting modim with the tzibur. So he'll wait till the shliach tzibur gets up to modim. Now, if he doesn't recite modim with the tzibur, and the tzibur is reciting modim, and that requires a kriya, so Rashi points out here that the spectator thinks he's a kofer. Everybody else is being mishtachaveh with the kriya, and he's not doing so. So it's very critical that he link up with the tzibur modim, and he can do so in one of two ways. Either if he davens hishmonesri together with chazor sashatz, and he synchronizes reaching the point of overlap with the shliach tzibur at modim, or alternatively, he waits till the shliach tzibur continues. He davens, he waits for the shliach tzibur, then he recites modim with the shliach tzibur, not within the framework of Hishmon Esrei, but nevertheless, he's korea with the tzibur. Tosfos, Divrei Maskal Ad, in this gigantic Tosfos, says that according to Rashi, if im yochol lahaschil ispalel lagil modim, if he can begin to daven and reach modim at the shliach tzibur will get modim, then he's allowed to start his tefillah because he'll have ishtachavom at tzibur. So that's the logical conclusion of Rashi's pshat in this sugya. The Prisha writes that dafka lemodim chashash Rav Huna because of the ishtachava. But as far as Kiddush is concerned, then he's not going to look like a kofer if he doesn't recite Kiddusha with the tzibur. And the reason for that is because if he's not reciting Kiddusha with the tzibur, it's because it's in the middle of Shmon Esrei, and it's obvious to everyone that he's joining together with the tzibur for Kiddusha, says the Prisha, because he's jumping up and down together with the tzibur. In other words, he's Magbia Raglov together with the tzibur, and he's going to demonstrate that he is accepting the Ol of Heaven. He's not a kofer, but in Modim, in the middle of Shmon Esrei, he's not allowed to add a kriya, so he, because there are X number of kriyas that are situated in specific places, and if he adds a kriya, then he's violated this prohibition of kriya. Kriya is a hefsek. But on the other hand, if he's able to synchronize together with the shliach tzibur's modim, then he will achieve this kriya at modim, and that's what he has to do. And then there's no kfir over here because he's being korea together with the tzibur. Tosfos quotes a minhag of Rabbeinu Tam that if the chazan, if the shliach tzibur gets to modim, and he is in the middle of Shmon Esrei, says Rabbeinu Tam, his minhag was to be korea together with the tzibur, even though he's not going to recite modim. However, he says that that's only in the middle of a bracha he can do that, but at sof bracha, you're not allowed to be korea. So let's go on now in the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, im yochal ahaskil v'ligmar ad shlo yagiyash liach tzibur l'kedusha yispal v'im lav al yispalil. And now, Rav Yeshua ben Levi wants to make sure that he can sync with the Shliach Tzibur's Kedusha. And if he cannot do so because he's too late behind the Shliach Tzibur, then he should wait and delay his Shmon Esrei until the Shliach Tzibur recites Kedusha and he could join the Tzibur for Kedusha. And then he can daven. But my kamiflagi, what is the machlokas here between Rav Huna and Rav Yeshua ben Levi? The Gemara says the following. Marasavar, according to Rav Huna, Yachid Omer Kedusha. If a Yachid is davening together with the Tzibur, he can say Kedusha, even in the middle of Hishmon Esrei. So wherever he is, he can respond to Kedusha. So we don't care one way or the other whether he'll finish his Shmon Esrei before the Shliach Tzibur got to Kedusha, because even if he wouldn't do so, he could still respond to Kedusha. Mar Sover, but Rabbi Shimon Levi holds, Ein Yachid Omer Kedusha. A Yachid who's dominating together with the Tzibur is not allowed to recite Kedusha in the middle of his Shmon Esrei. And therefore, if he cannot begin his Shmon Esrei and be fast enough to catch up with the Shliach Tzibur for Kedusha, then he should wait until the Shliach Tzibur gets to Kedusha so he can respond to Kedusha, but he cannot respond to Kedusha in the middle of his Shmon Esrei. And the source for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that a Yochid is not allowed to recite Kedusha in the middle of his Shmon Esrei is a statement of Rav Ada bar Ava derived from a pasuk v'chein omer Rav Ada bar Ava minayin she'ein ha-Yochid omer Kedusha. Shenemar v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael kol dovish v'kedusha l'yehei pachos me'asara. Now this is a Gemara in a number of places, especially in Masechta Megillah Chaf Gimel, that with a string of limudim, we from this pasuk mikdashim b'toch Yisrael, we derive the conclusion that any davar shel kedusha, which means baruch hu, kaddish, chazor sashatz in general, and even kriyas haTorah requires asara, and with less than asara, we cannot fulfill a davar shel kedusha. And now the Gemara is going to go through all these complicated limudim, and this is a sugya, as I mentioned before, in Masechta Megillah. Now, before we go into the complicated limudim here about Davar shel Kedusha, let's just backtrack a little to Rav Huna. The Gemara explains, Mar Sava Rav Huna holds Yochid Omer Kedusha. Let's just try to understand what that means, Yochid Omer Kedusha. We're trying to answer the question as to why Rav Huna is not concerned, as Rabbi Shimon Levi is, about Yochel Lahaskel Ligmar Achle Yeshlich Tzibul Kedusha. What happened to Kedusha? So the answer was in the Gemara that Mar Savari Rav Huna holds Yochid Omer Kedusha. So what does that mean, Yochid Omer Kedusha? You know, we're trying to Lechora sync with the Shlich Tzibul in order to recite Kedusha. And yet, you know, that's not a concern on the radar screen of Rav Huna. He's not in any way interested in being Mishayer, trying to evaluate, well, can he say Shmon Esrei and reach the Shliach Tzibur's Kiddusha? And here we have a Machlokas. According to the Rashba, we derive from Rav Huna, again, this is not necessarily Lalocha, but according to Rav Huna, that a Yachid Hamispalim at Tzibur Rashoy Loma Kedusha, that if he sets himself up with the Tzibur and he's considered a Mispalim at Tzibur, then he can recite Kedusha even if the Shliach Tzibur is not up to Kedusha. Now it's the reason why Rav Huna is not concerned about synchronizing with the Shliach Tzibur's Kedusha is because once he sets up his Shmon Esrei as a Shmon Esrei with a Tzibur, he can recite Kedusha wherever, well, whenever he finishes Mechai Mesim. The Tzibur is not reciting Kedusha at that time. And the Tosfos Achosid says that according to Rav Huna, even a Yochid who's not davening with the Tzibur, he can recite Kedusha in Shmon Esrei. I mean, this is something that's so foreign to us. But even if we don't go as far as the Tosfos Achosid, nevertheless, we would still assume that a person would, under normal circumstances, we would say he's not allowed to say Kedusha after Mechai Mesim. I mean, that's not part of the Shmon Esrei in the Yochid. But yet, no, we have upgraded his Shmon Esrei to the status of a Mispal im HaTzibur. He becomes a Yochid HaMispal im HaTzibur, and therefore, once that happens, his tefillah takes on a new status, and it becomes a Heftz of tefillah im HaTzibur, and therefore he can recite Kedusha. So he doesn't have to recite Kedusha with the Tzibur, but just in a tefillah of the Tzibur. And that, after Mechai Mesim, since he's already davening with the Tzibur, again, he's not going to get up to the Shliach Tzibur on time, but he'll recite his own personal Kedusha when he gets up to after he finishes Mechai Mesim. Now let's talk about the limud of Vinikdashti. My mashma, the Gemara says, where do you see in this pasuk Vinikdashti betof b'nei Yisrael that you need asara? Where's the secret number asara? And the Gemara says, the Tani Rav Noi Achua de Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. We have a brisa that sets up a gzeres shava asya toch. Ksiv hacha, here it says, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. So let's emphasize the word b'toch. Uksiv hasam, in the case of Korach and Adasa, HaKadosh Baruch says to Moshe, yibadlu mitoch ha'eda zos. So this gives us a link that mitoch means an eda. In other words, what constitutes mitoch? This word mitoch is connected with eda. Now we have to figure out what is an eda. If we can prove that the word eda means asara, then mitoch would mean asara, because mitoch means eda, and that we see in the pasuk by Korach, and we can prove that eda means asara. Now, how do we prove that eda means asara? So we're going to say malahalan asara, afkan asara, that just like there, when it says mit eda asara, we need 10. We haven't proven that yet. So too now, through this gzeres shava, davar shel kedusha v'nikdashti requires asara because of toch. And now we have to ask the question, how do we know that Eda means Asara? So the Gemara here doesn't address that question. The Gemara addresses that question in Megillah, and the Gemara derives that Eidah as Asara from the Meraglim. Because in the Meraglim, it says in the 14th chapter of Amidbar, Admasai La Eidah Ra Zos, and who is the Eidah Ra'a of the 12 Meraglim, representing the 12 Shvatim? It's all the Meraglim minus Yoshua V'Kalev, and that is the Eidah Ra'a, and therefore we see the word Eidah refers to 10. Once we know that Eidah refers to 10, which is derived from the Parashat Meraglim, we plug in the word Eidah in Korach, that Mitocha Eidah means Eidah of 10. Now it says Mitoch, and that's going to connect us back to the Mitoch of an Ikdashti B'toch B'nei Yisrael to refer to 10. Now the Gemara addresses the following question. Are you allowed to be mafsik in Shmona Esrei to respond to Yehei Shmei Rava? So Gemara says the following. Udukuli Alma, everybody agrees. Whether it's Rav Huna, Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Mias, Mifsak lo Posik. In other words, from the fact that Rav Huna says he shouldn't begin in Shmona Esrei until the Shliach Tzibur gets to Modim, or if he can catch up to the Tzibur by Modim. And Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says he shouldn't start Shmona Esrei before he reaches, until the Shliach Tzibur, unless he can either recite, he postpones his Shmona Esrei so that he can hear Kedusha with the Tzibur, or alternatively, he will start his Shmona Esrei and sink with the Shliach Tzibur for Kedusha. We can derive from both of them that Ein Mafsikin B'emtza Shmona Esrei for the Dovah Sheva Kedusha, whether it's Kedusha itself or whether it's Modim. Is he Boiluhu? Now the Gemara has a Suffolk, Ma'u Lahafsik L'Yeheshmei Shmoa Gadol Mevorach. Can he respond to Yeshmei Rava? He can't respond to a Dovah Sheva Kedusha or to Modim, to Kedusha Modim, in the middle of his Shmona Esrei, and therefore he has to make sure he sinks. Again, when I say he sinks, either that he'll get up to the Kedusha when the Shliach Tzibur is up to Kedusha in Rabbi Shuman Levi's formula, or in Modim according to Rav Huna, or he just simply has to wait and postpone his Shmona Esrei until he can respond to Kedusha. And the reason for all this is because he cannot stop in the middle of Shmona Esrei to respond to Kedusha. And we'll have Machlokas Rashi Tosef exactly what he should do in a case where he's davening Shmona Esrei and the Shliach Tzibur and the Tzibur got up to Kedusha. Should he stand silently? Should he listen? What should he do? But leave that out. Now we want to know about Yehi Shmei Rava. So Ki Asa Rav Dimi, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel Omar. He said, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Talmidi, de Rav Yochanan, Amri, Lakol Ein Mafsik, in Chutz, Yehi Shmei HaGadol Mevorach. Shafilu, Osek, B'maisa Merkava, Posek. The Gemara now has a tradition that he should be Mafsik in the middle of Shmona Esrei for Yehi Shmei Rava. And even if someone is studying Sefer Yechezkel and the Maisa Merkava, and he's seeing the Mara, so to speak, in front of him of Yechezkel, the Dmus Kisei Ashchina, nevertheless, he terminates, he takes a break in order to respond to Yehi Shmei Rava. Now, I'm not sure what he would do if he was in the middle of Maisa Merkava and the Tzibur got up to Kedusha or to Modim, would he be Mafsik? I don't know. It says Posek for Yehi Shmei Rava. Now the final conclusion is less Hilchas HaKavase. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, but we hold that Ein Mafsik B'emtza Shmona Esrei, even for the sake of Yehi Shmei Rava. Now again, even according to the Maskana, it does seem that answering, responding to Yehi Shmei Rava is on a higher level than Kedusha, otherwise the Gemara didn't have a Suffolk here. It's not enough of a Chashivas in order to allow him to be Mafsik in the middle of his Shmona Esrei, but it is more Chashiv than Kedusha. And that's what we have to keep in mind, that although the Gemara holds that the response of Yehi Shmei Rava is not chashiv enough to be mafsik, but nevertheless it is on a higher level than Kedusha. But Tosfos back on Daf Gimel seems to come to the opposite conclusion, that Yehi Shmei Rava is on the same level as Kedusha and Modim. Now, we learned in our Mishnah about a Valkeri that he shouldn't recite Birchas Kriyat Shema. But Rabbi Yehuda disagreed, and he says, Mevarech, he should recite Birchas Kriyat Shema, Birchas HaMozen, Bepeh, with his mouth, Lifneim Ulachreim, whether it's the brachos before Kriyat Shema or after Kriyat Shema, even though he's a Balkeri. Lemeimah de Kasavi, Rabbi Yehuda, Balkeri Muta B'divrei Torah. Are we meant to assume that although Ezra made a takana, but nevertheless a Balkeri is allowed to speak Divrei Torah? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda was matir the recitation of Birchas Kriyat Shema and Birchas HaMozen Lifneim Lachreim because he was matir for a Balkeri to recite Divrei Torah. And the Gemara presents a stira for Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi minayin lebalkeri she'aser b'divrei Torah, that a balkeri is enjoined from divrei Torah. Shenemar, because with regard to limud Torah l'doros, the Torah says vodatim l'vanecha l'vnei vanecha, that we have to transmit the Torah to our children, to our grandchildren, whatever we heard from Sinai, v'samachle, and immediately the next pasuk, with regard to Maimon Har Sinai, it says, Yom HaShem Amadet Olifnei Hashem Alkecha B'chorev. Chorev is reference to Har Sinai. And from the Smichas HaPsukim, we should derive that Mala Halon, just like in Maimon Har Sinai, Bailei Kerion Asurim, and that was the reason for Prisha Gimel Yomim from Ishto, is Afkan, so too, Bailei Kerion Asurim. So how could it be that Rabbi Yehuda was matir for Balkeri to be Mavarech Bepeh, if we have the Smichas from which Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi derived that a Balkeri is Asur Be Divrei Torah? V'chitem, and if you'll answer that Rabbi Yehuda lo dar smuchin, maybe Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso, he doesn't hold from smuchin, he doesn't darshan smuchin, and therefore he disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and he holds that Balkeri is not enjoined from Divrei Torah. That's impossible. V'omar Rav Yosef, afilu mandalo darish smuchin b'chol haTorah, b'mishnah Torah darish. So everybody agrees that in Sefer Dvarim with darish smuchim. And again, you see here that Sefer Dvarim is called Mishneh Torah because Moshe, in a sense, reviews and explains most of the mitzvahs that are relevant to Kol Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Dalet explains that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda is Dorish Smuchin in Mishneh Torah is because Muchach Miseder Apsukim Shenichtufu Kein Kedei Lidrosh. The reason why the Chumash in Mishneh Torah, in Dvarim, was organized in a certain sequence is just for this purpose that we should be Doresh. O Mishum Shaposik Miyuta Lidroshazu, or because the Torah added words and those superfluous words are meant to teach us a drosha. The Rishonim tried to explain the difference between Mishneh Torah and other Svarim. According to Tosfos, in Masechta Yevamos, Kol makom shemuchach miseder apsuk shenichtu kach kedei lidrosh, o shapos miyuta lidrosh adorsh and smichas hapsukim. So whenever it seems clear from the seder apsukim that it was written in order for us to darshan, or for example, if you have an extra pasuk, as we said before, we dorish smuchin. And when the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda we dorish smuchin only in Mishneh Torah, it's because it was known to Chazal that in all the smuchin in Mishneh Torah, we have one of those two conditions, either because it was deliberately placed together, or because there's an extra pasuk. In truth, Rabbi Yehuda would be Doresh smuchin in even other svarim if those conditions would be met. So it's like there's nothing, can you give you a beispiel, there's nothing significant about Aseres HaDibros, but each one of the Aseres HaDibros has a reason why it's unique and therefore was put together. So that it happens to be that in all the cases of Smuchin in Sefer Dvarim and Mishneh Torah, they all have some sort of a Mechayev, some sort of a compelling reason why to be Dorish. But Enochinami, if those conditions to be Dorish were met in other Chumashim, that would be enough for a reason why Rabbi Yehuda would be darshaning Smuchin. The Ritva, on the other hand, says that only in Mishneh Torah, which is written on a very, very deliberate Seder, then we say that because of the Seder, we Doresh Smuchin. But in other Svarim, we have what's called Chashuvim Kulim Kiparsha Achas. The entire Sefer is considered like one Parsha, so there's no breakup into individual units. There's Ein Mukta Mucha Torah, and therefore we're not going to derive from the sequence any any derivations, any drasha of smuchin. So now if we say that Rabbi Yehuda's Dorish Smuchin in Mishneh Torah, then we have this Smichas HaParshios in Perek Dalet of Mishneh Torah between the Pasuk Vodatul of Anechel of Nevanech regarding Torah and Yom HaShar Manito regarding Har Sinai. And it's teaching us that a Balkari is also the Divrei Torah. So the Gemara now brings a source. Where do we find that Rabbi Yehuda is not Dorish Smuchin who call it Torah Kula? And how do we know that Bechol Tor Kula Minola, and how do we know the Lo Dorish that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshin smuchin? The Sanya we learned in the price of Menazei Omer Nemar, it says in Parshas Mishpatim Achashefa Lo Sechaya, and it doesn't say exactly what Misa would apply to a Machashefa, but never in the next pasuk it says Kol Shochevim Behema Mos Yumas is somehow inyan lo. So we have a smichas haparshios between machshefa and shokivim behema. Lomar, this meant to teach us ma shokivim behema beskila af machshefa nami beskila. Now again, you have to know exactly how we derive the conclusion that most yumas means skila, and that's sugyan Sanhedrin that on Daf Nudal derives that Shokhim Behema is Misasa Beskila from Gzera Shava, from Mesis. If a person is Mesis Lavada Vorezora, and the Torah there uses the term Ki Horeg Harog Taragena, so too in the Parash of Shokhim in Behema, the Torah says Ash Isha Shayit Yitain Shechovto Behema Mos Yumas Vesa Behema Tahargo. So we have a gzeirah shava between shokhev and behema and mesis, and the parasha of mesis misasa v'skila, because it says explicitly with regard to mesis in Dvarim Perek Yud Gimel, it says uskaltim v'avonim v'mesu. So too shokhev and behema is misasa v'skila. Now we have a smichus between shokhev behema and machshefa to teach us machshefa is also put to death with skila. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is not impressed. He says to Ben Azai, v'chim ipnesha somchu inyan lo. Notzi lazeh leskila. Do we have a right? Excuse me. Do we have a right to derive skila from smichas haparshiyus? That's not enough to justify the conclusion that machshefas misasa beskila. In other words, we don't darshin smichas haparshiyus in order to derive halachas. Ella, but if you ask me, how do I know that the misa of a machshefa is indeed beskila? We know that from Ovi Yidoni, because Ovi Yidoni bichlal kol machshefim hoy. That's also a kind of a sorcery. And it says machshefa lo sechaya, and yet the Torah went out of its way with a special pasuk, and this is in Vayikra Perek Chav, to teach us that an Ovi Yidoni is chayav misa. Lama yatsu, why would the Torah have to take Ovi Yidoni out of the klal of kol machshefim, where the Torah says that lo sechaya, and specify the misa? It says v'isha o isha ki yevahem ovi doni mos yumasu ba'evin yigumosam tmeim bam. So why did the Torah need to tell me this if it already has a pasuk that machshefa lo sechaya, and we would include ovi doni under the pasuk machshefa because bechal kol machshefim hayu? So why did the Torah have to specify the chiv misa in the case of Ovi Yidoni when we already derived that because it's included on the kol machshefim? And the answer is lahakish lahem, in order to set up a hekesh between Ovi Yidoni and all other machshefim. Lomar lachama Ovi Yidoni beskila, it's explicit, the Torah says by evan yigumu osam, so he requires skila in the case of Ovi Yidoni by virtue of an explicit pasuk af machshefa. So too the Torah wants to teach us machshefas beskila. So again, Rabbi Yehuda agrees la'alacha to what was said here by Ben Azai. He's not arguing Ben Azai la'alacha. Machshefa is put to death with skila, but the question is how we know this. Do we know it through smuchim because the smichas to shokhev behema, or do we know it from a hekesh to ovi doni? Now the Gemara asks the other question: Mishneh Torah Minolan did Darish. How do we know that Rabbi Yehuda has a drasha and justify smuchin as a drush in Mishnah Torah. The sign we learned to the Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no say Adam anusas aviv and mufutas aviv. In other words, even though the Torah says you're not allowed to marry Ashes aviv, the wife of your father, but nevertheless, the Torah matters marrying the anusa, or if she was a mufutas aviv. In other words, there was no legal marriage relationship between his father and this woman. This woman had a relationship with her father, an intimate relationship, but she was never married to her father. You're allowed to marry her. So to anusas b'no, mufutas b'no, the same thing applies. He cannot marry his kala, right, his daughter-in-law, but if she was not married to his son, there was only a relationship, then you're allowed to marry this woman. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda oser banusas aviv mufutas aviv, and Rabbi Yehuda is against Rabbi Eliezer is machmir in anusas aviv mufutas aviv. Amar Rabbi Gidol, Amar Rav, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. How does Rabbi Yehuda derive this conclusion that even anusas and mufutas aviv are included under eishes aviv? Tichsiv, the Torah says in Parashas Ki Teitzei lo yikach ish es eishes aviv lo yigala knaf aviv. Why did the Torah add the lo yigala knaf aviv when it always included lo yikach ish es eishes aviv? Is kanaf shara via lo yigala? He should not have a relationship with a woman who had a relationship with his father, and therefore he's oser. And that's Rabbi Yudashita against Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, "Uminola umimai de banusas aviv ksiv." How does Rabbi Yehuda know that the pasuk is referring to anusas aviv? Maybe the pasuk is coming to be mazir an additional azhara that has to do with a bal shomeres yavam shel aviv, and a shomeres yavam shel aviv is already considered like ishto, like ashes aviv, but it's not necessarily coming to include anusas aviv. And the answer is the samach levenosana isha shochevima. In other words, here Rabbi Yehuda is Doresh Smuchin in Mishnah Torah, because immediately after this pasuk of lo yikach ishes eishes of lo yigala knaf of, it says v'nosan isha shochev ima. That's the end of the parsha of Ones. So from the smichus of parshas Ones to the parsha of Gilui knaf of, if we derive the knaf of includes even anusas of, even though there was no marriage relationship, she wasn't even a shomer siyamav of aviv. So we see that even though Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchin and kol tarkul in the other four chumashim, and that's why he rejects the drush of smuchin from achshefa and he's forced to introduce over yidoni, nevertheless he is darish smuchin in the parshias of Mishnah Torah. So now we get swing back to our original issue here. How could Rabbi Yehuda allow a balkeri to be osik b'torah when Rabbi Yishuv Levi points out that there's a drusha of smuchin to teach me that Balkeri is also b'Torah because of the smichas ha'parasha tar Sinai, and that's all in Dvarim Perek Dalet, it's in Mishnah Torah, and in Mishnah Torah Rabbi Yehuda also agrees to be Doresh Smuchin. And the Gemara answers, Amri, the yeshiva said that it's true, but Mishnah Torah Doresh Smuchin, but Hani Smuchin, but these Smuchin of Balkeri and Divrei Torah mi boile le'idoch to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yehuda needs this Smuchin to derive another conclusion. How do we know that if you teach your son Torah, you transmit Torah to your son, it's as if you had received that Torah in Har Sinai, because immediately after Shenemar Vodatul Vanech, it says Basrei, it says immediately after Yom HaShavamadit Lefnei Hashem Alkech B'chorev, and this Smichus HaParshi is going to teach us that if a person teaches Torah to his son, it's as if he was Mekabel Torah Me'ar Sinai. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have this Smuchin free in order to derive an Isur Balkeri in Torah. Now, at this point, we have to raise two questions that are raised by the Shita Mekubetzes, because the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Pei Beis clearly states that a Balkeri is also with the Rei Torah because of Takonis Ezra. Here we're deriving the Isur of a Balkeri with the Rei Torah from the Torah itself, from the Smichus HaParshias here in Mishneh Torah. And furthermore, how could Rabbi Yehuda here say that Balkaris Mutter B'Divrei Torah, even if he doesn't Darshan Smuchin to generate an Issa D'Oraisa, but nevertheless, the Gemara establishes that Ezra was Metaken, that a Balkari is also B'Divrei Torah. How therefore can Rabbi Yehuda allow a Balkari B'Divrei Torah against the Takon of Ezra? These are the two questions of the Shita Mekubetzes. Now furthermore, L'maskana, there was a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda, and the reason for that kasha was because Rabbi Yehuda himself is Dorish Smuchim in Mishnah Torah. Why didn't the Gemara at that point indicate that if this drush is Minat Torah, and Rabbi Yehuda would embrace the drush of Smuchim because it's in Mishnah Torah, then maybe it's only in Smachta because Ezra himself was metaking the Iser of Balkeri B'Divrei Torah. Now again, L'maskana, it could be that even Rabbi Yehuda would be moded Balkeri is also B'Divrei Torah, but perhaps not because of a Dorais Halacha, but maybe because of Takanas Ezra. In this maskana, the Gemara is going to prove from various halachas in Taras on Daf Chav Beis that Rabbi Yehuda is Oser, he agrees that it's also a Balkeri, Lasok B'Divrei Torah. So the Gemara is going to ask, well, if that be the case, why does Rabbi Yehuda now Mishnah allow a Balkeri to read the brachos Lefaneim and Lachreim? And the Gemara is going to say, Lo Tema, this is all on Daf Chav Beis Amin Aleph, on the top of the Yomun, don't think that according to Rabbi Yehuda and Ma'am Mishnah, Balkeri is Mevarech Bepeh, Ela Mehar Belev. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda allowed. He permitted Hir Belev. Now, in this Maskana, I'm not sure exactly what would be the source for Rabbi Yehuda to generate an Iser of Balkeri Lasak B'Torah. So this in Ritz Hashem we'll see in the next year when we get to the Sugyan Chav Beis, but my impression is that it might be the Iser of Takanas Ezra. However, there is a Rashi on Daf Chav Beis and Alf Dir Maskel Ella that writes for Ilu Rabbi Yehuda Lesley Takanas Ezra, which seems to indicate that Rabbi Yehuda never accepted Takanas Ezra, and then we should be going back to the Doraisa Halacha of the Iser Balkeri to read Divrei Torah, and therefore the whole heter of Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah would only be Hirur B'Divrei Torah, but not Dibur B'Peh. So we're up to here at the end of the Shia Tanan, which is approximately six lines up from the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis.